Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Believe in God to touch you, minister to us today. I don't know if y'all have felt what I feel in the house of God today, but there's an awesome presence of the Lord here. God wants to touch somebody. And before I start the message, I just want to go ahead and tell you that somebody needs to get loose. Somebody's been trying to find a turnaround, and this is your day that you need to turn around. I decree to you that the very place the enemy said was going to be the end is the jumping off of one of the greatest blessings you're ever going to have in your life. And there's somebody sitting here today that you thought it's all over with. You ready to quit, throw up your hands. And I got news for you. God's ready for you to step into the next blessing and move on to the next power and the next anointing of his glory. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 1, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea and on the side of Syria. And behold, they be Hazaron Tamar, which is in Gedad. And Jehoshaphat feared. And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and help us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look around the eye and say, God has a word for you today. The children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and others beside them, besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. We could assign them names more like this so you'd understand it. We could say financial trouble, health problems, family problems, attacks on our character, attacks on the ministry. The worst part is they all came at once. It wasn't one attack, and the next day another attack, but they got to attack it, and they were coming from all sides. Have you ever felt like you were in the middle of something and you just didn't know how to get out? That no matter what happened, the enemy was there. You look to the north and the enemy's there. You look to the south, the enemy's there. You look to the east, the west, and it seems like everywhere you look, you see enemy, and you don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know how you're going to get out of it. Amen. You're trying to figure out how you're going to make it. And all of a sudden you begin to realize they that are against me are greater than they that are for me. And you're sitting there trying to figure out how to get out of it. But church, can I tell you at a moment like that is when you need to have God speak to you. It is when you need to draw a line in the sand, say today is a day I'm not going any farther till I feel the presence and the power and the glory of Almighty God in my life. Glory. Hello? I know today the Spirit of the Lord that somebody is that a very same situation going on in their life. Financially, physically, somehow you feel trapped. You don't know how to turn. You don't know how to get victory. Amen. Do y'all remember that old saying in the church? You got the victory. Amen. That used to be big in the church. Folks run by, you got the victory, boy. Now, y'all got to understand something. I came into Pentecost. Everything was new to me. I'd never been to a Pentecostal church before the night I got saved. And I didn't know nothing about Pentecost. And I got saved. Next time you know, we start revival a week or so later, and this guy turned and said, hey, you need to get sanctified. I said, what's that? He said, I don't know, but you need it. Glory. I hope he's figured that out, because he now pastors the Church of God in Alabama. Amen. But man, I went up to that altar, started praying for sanctification, and I did not realize it, but most likely I got sanctified the night I got saved after I got home, prayed through, and burned up 4 cartons of cigarettes, and busted a bottle of vodka and poured some drugs into the creek. I pretty much got delivered that night. But I was down at altar praying, and boy, they got to shouting and dancing around with me and knocking me around. You know how church got folks do. Those of you who've never been in Pentecost understand something. Ain't nobody going to hurt you, but they're going to touch you. Glory. One dude grabbed me up like a sack of taters and run around the building with me. And it wasn't so bad, but he caught my head on every one of them windowsills as he went by. Of course, he was 6'6", weighed about 350, so I wasn't going to say a whole lot to him. Hey, man. I never forget, I got to shout, and they said, he's sanctified. I said, praise God, I got it. Next night, that old boy turned and said, you need the Holy Ghost. I said, what's that? He said, I don't know, but you need it. I went the rest of that revival seeking the Holy Ghost. I didn't get the Holy Ghost that week, but I went to Cody Church of God, got filled with the Holy Ghost the next week. Man, I thought the world had done turned upside down. I was wide open. Amen. I go to a fellowship meeting the next week, and the pastor walked up, slid his arm around, and said, boy, you got the victory. I said, if it's better than the Holy Ghost, don't even worry about singing. Let's just go to the altar right now. Glory. I mean, I actually thought every time we went to church, you just get something else and had a name for it. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we got a lot of church folks today who attend church every week, who do everything they're supposed to do to some extent, but yet they have no victory, they have no joy, they have no peace, they have no power, because the enemy has come against them and surrounded them and convinced them that their God is not who he says he is. And I think it's time today some of us drew a line and said, God, I need to hear a word from you. Because if I can get a word from you, it'll set me free. If I can get a word from you, it'll knock down the walls. It'll tear down the bondage. It'll set me free in your glory. Could you say amen? Whew. Glory. So I said, preacher, do you believe this? If I didn't, I wouldn't preach it. Amen. Notice what the Bible tells us. The Bible said Jehoshaphat feared. Let me give you a little quick example. Faith cometh by. I said, Satan likes to mimic God. I'm going to make that statement better. Fear comes by hearing. If you don't hear about it, see about it, you got nothing to fear. Most of the fears we have in our life, we put them in our head by doing things or listening to things we shouldn't be listening to. Our kids wouldn't know about vampires if you didn't let them watch Twilight, the series. Glory. Yeah, we got kids can't go to sleep at night because they're afraid a vampire go get in their room and bite them. Some of y'all sitting there say, well, preacher, that's silly. No, it's not. I was actually in Romania. God admit you should have been scared. I was in Transylvania. Hey, man, that's part of Romania. It's a full moon. We're actually about 10 miles from a big castle on top of the mountain that belonged to a fellow that all y'all would know if I called his name, but I'm not a name dropper. Glory. We were right outside the 14th century village that this guy named Vladimir was raised in. He was known in history as Vlad the Impaler. He was not a vampire, although if you hear him today, you're going to call him Count Dracula, and you're going to think he was a vampire. But the people of Transylvania loved him because while he ruled, there was very little crime, because if somebody robbed you and got caught, he stuck them on a stick, put them out in front of your house, and let them rot. That's a deterrent to crime, folks. When a guy goes by seeing bodies hanging there, we're going, you know, that could be me. Glory. He said, now, preacher, that don't work. Go to the Middle East. You see guys without a hand, you realize they robbed somebody. And there's very little robbing going on among those folks because they don't want to lose a hand. Glory. Come on, church, smile. He said, you advocate that here? No, but we need something to make people think about what they're doing. Glory. But he became known as Count Dracula, and the legend grew. And let's face it, church, if you ever go there, you understand why they promote the legend. There are people coming from all over the world riding through Transylvania. They're buying wooden crosses and stakes, and they'll buy necklaces to wear around their neck. And had a guy in a van with us wanted a garlic necklace. We started off the Carpathian Mountains, and there's people on the side of the road. You know, like you see down in Florida selling orange juice, they're selling garlic necklaces. And he said, oh, I want to get one of those. He was from Guyana. He believed in vampires. He was a preacher. He was scared to death. I said, you ain't putting that on. You're sitting next to me. I ain't going to smell garlic that long. Besides, I do. I'm liable to get hungry. We get to the house one night after church, the motel after church one night. I wanted something to drink. There's no drink machine in the motel, but there's one across the street, and I started to cross the road to get a drink, and he stopped me and said, where are you going? I said, get a drink. He said, it's night. I said, yeah. He said, there's a full moon. I said, yeah, I can see. He said, no, you don't understand. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm going to get a drink. If Drac wants one, I'll buy him one. I walked across the street, come back in the door, and the whole time I could see his eyes through the door watching me. I told Brother Tim Hill and Brother Tom George was with me. I said, if I could have found a ketchup pack, I'd have slapped it on my neck and put that guy into a cardiac arrest. Glory. Amen. I looked. Couldn't find one. Next morning, we went to the village he was raised in, and he wouldn't get out of the van. And I actually seen a bat hanging in one of the corners, and I'd done everything I could to find a stick to get that bat down. I'd go throw it in the van with him. I told him, I said, Brother Hill, you know if that goes in that van, he's coming out. Glory. Amen. You know, he even got to looking for one with me. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? Fear is real. What we perceive becomes our reality. And if we are afraid, fear will take us. But can I tell you, fear is something that comes from Satan. When you lose sight of who God is, that's when fear takes control of your life. Read the Song of Solomon. The wisest man ever lived, the richest man ever lived, got so caught up in the other religions, he forgot who God was and forgot how great God was. He forgot about the God that put him where he was. And the Bible said he got so afraid of the night, he had to have people stand around his bed at night with a sword drawn to make sure he could sleep. Preacher, what are you talking about? I have people tell me, I'm not afraid of the dark. Everybody in this building is afraid of the dark. It's just a matter of how much dark it takes to get your fear turned on. Come on, church. You tie somebody up, put something on their head, put them in a closet where they can't see. It won't be long they'll have spiders crawling on them, snakes in there with them. Ain't nothing in there. Come on, church. Because your subconscious will open up and whatever's in there is coming out. And all them old movies you watched, all them books you read and all them stories you've been told, they'll become reality to you. Come on, church. Let me tell you something. Fear will destroy you. Fear will take you down. The Bible tells me, according to the book of James, I believe it is, he said, for God gave us not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of joy and of peace and of a sound mind. And we've got to get to that place where we understand fear will make you go crazy. Fear will give you heart trouble. Fear will stress you out. Fear will give you all kind of depression and anxiety and get you oppressed. But if you'll get a hold to God, I got a God who will break the bondage of fear and set you free and bring you out and give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Could you say amen? See, when you're afraid, you got to understand you're trying to fight the battle yourself. You're trying to figure out how to win it yourself. Listen, First John chapter 4, herein is love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and hath feareth is not made perfect in love. But we love him because he first loved us. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, if I'm in love with God, God's in love with me, I got nothing to fear. Why? Because the angels of the Lord are encamped around about those who love him and keep his commandments. Amen. And because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, church. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? I don't have to fear the devil or the Satan or any imp. I mean, we got folks getting up in the morning talking about, oh, the devil's over here. The devil can't be at your house if somebody else's house at the same time. Wake up. And I'm going to tell you something. Most of you ain't that important for the devil to show up. Oh, y'all get mad now because you somebody. I know you read that book. I'm somebody. Let me read the scripture to you. He that thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing deceiveth himself. And now all of you mad, listen to this. If Satan mimics God, the only time God gets involved is when it's absolutely necessary. He sends angels. He sends other emissaries until he needs to intervene, and then he intervenes. Hello? You think Satan's going to operate any different? He's going to send some little wimp demon over there, mess up your morning. You get ready to drink that last sip of coffee, miss, get it all over your shirt, and the devil gets credit for it. And, oh, you'll take a test. Oh, the devil's in my house. But if he was his sister so-and-so's house, you just made the devil omnipresent. That means he's got an attribute of God. He doesn't have that, so he can't be two places at once. Oh, I'm losing some of you, but I'm preaching the truth. What happens is you got a bunch of demons running around masking themselves as devils, and we're so messed up we let fear make them bigger than they really are. Come on, church. Amen. Listen, I never knew fear when I was a kid. Most of y'all know what I'm talking about. When you was teenagers, you thought you was indestructible. You'd do stupid stuff. I've gone back and done, seen some of the stuff I'd done. We used to jump off a bridge up at Lake Tuscaloosa. I've gone past on that bridge and looked going, what idiot would jump off this stupid bridge? I used to be the first one off. We had a rope tied up in the tree. I tied the rope in the tree and jumped out of it. I go up and go, what idiot would climb the tree, much less jump? I'm not even sure I'd swing on the rope anymore. I didn't think nothing about it. My dad used to worry about me because I didn't care who they was. I figured I could at least get in a couple of punches in a fight. Glory. The principal actually told my daddy one time, he said, you need to talk to him. He said, he's going to get hurt. I made it all the way till I got saved. And church, let's face it, some of the junk I got involved in, I should have been scared. Never knew what it was. And then all of a sudden I get saved and the spirit of fear got on me and I was scared of my own shadow. I mean, I'm talking to somebody because somebody knows what I'm talking about. You get up in the morning and every time something in the house bumps you. I can walk down the road and hear a bush move and I'm going, and I'm looking. I know now what it was. The demons that had once controlled my life were following me to see if they had a chance to get back in. Not yet. Well, preacher, you're stretching it. No, I'm not. There are real demons in this world. Some of y'all need to wake up and get in the real world. There is a devil out there that wants to take every one of you to hell. And if he can make you forget who your God is in fear, he can tear you apart. I mean, I got so brave that when I'd leave Frieda's house, I'd get her to go look in my car, see if somebody was in there. I figured it wouldn't mess. She wasn't blonde back then, but she was. Glory. I'd look at her and say, hey, they won't hurt you. They're looking for me. Go see if there's anybody in the car. She'd go out there and look. I'd get in the car and I'd drive home. And I was happy while I was in Northport. There were streetlights. I got to Buell. There ain't no streetlights because there ain't no streets. I turned the light on in the car, and then I thought about it. Wait a minute. I'm going to light myself up. Somebody on the side of the road shooting me. I flipped the light out. And then I get to feeling stuff crawling in the car, and I turn it back on. I'd be looking. I'd get home, and I'd pull up in the yard, and I'd blow the horn. My mama turned the back porch light on, and I'd run up to the back door and go in. I left one night. I'm headed home. I got the dome light on and it went out. I found out the next day the bulb slipped out of the little thing it was in, but it wouldn't come back on. I'm beating on the roof and I'm about wrecked the car 2 or 3 times. I had stuff crawling around my feet. I could feel it. And my hand landed on my Bible and something inside me says, you don't have to live this way anymore. I pulled up in the yard. Blowed the horn, nothing happened. I blowed it again, nothing happened. I eased around back just a little bit, and I noticed that the second car at the house was gone. And it hit me. Man, my mom and dad was out of town. I was supposed to find somewhere to stay so I wouldn't have to stay out there by myself. Don't look at me like that. I finally left the headlights on, run up there and opened the back door, turned the kitchen light on, the back porch light on. I went back to the car and I got my Bible. I turned that car off, turned the lights off, and I went in that house and I reached up on the refrigerator and got my daddy's pistol. I went through that whole house. I looked through every closet, checked between the mattresses. I seen that on TV. They get between them mattresses and fix the bed back, and then you go to bed and they get out money and kill you. I wasn't gonna have that happen. I'm checking that whole house out. I got a gun in one hand, the Bible in the other. I was gonna shoot them and pray for them. Oh. I started checking the windows because they'd been nailed down. My daddy nailed the windows down so they wouldn't come up about that high. I was checking all of them, be sure somebody ain't coming in and pulled the nails out so they'd get in later. I finally got back to the kitchen, and I'm feeling good now. Ain't nobody in that house. It's all locked up. Lights are all on. And I said, I need to go feed the horses. And I'm feeling good now. I got my Bible, my gun. I shoot out the back door, and I go through a little zigzag in the fence, and I'm headed across that sage field, and I get almost to the barn, and I realize that Bible and that gun is in the kitchen. Back up at that house. And that field's full of rattlesnakes, because I done heard them. Because every time you buff that sage, it, and I'm jumping and looking, trying to find the snake. Finally, I made up my mind, I'm headed out of here, and I took off running with all I had. Only I ran the wrong way. Instead of going back to that house where that gun and Bible was, I ran to the stupid barn, jumped the fence, and landed in the barnyard. And I'm standing there looking, and no lights on. Barns are open, dead dark inside. And I'm watching them. And all of a sudden, I done got it in my head. They done let that fella in California kill all them people out, and he's in Buell waiting on me. We're talking about late 70s. This was still in courts. Charles Manson had not been sentenced long, and I had him already out of jail in Buell. Fixing to start another war by killing me. You know, quartered me up real good. And I'm watching all them barns and everything moves. I'm jumping and I can't even see my hand in front of my face, so I don't see the horse walking up. My wife will tell you I had a Palomino that was a jumping horse. He's beautiful. But I trained him to walk up, slide his head over my shoulder, and I would carry people down to the barn. Young ladies I wanted to impress, and he would ease up behind us to slide his head over, kiss them on the cheek. I never heard him when he slid up behind me. I just felt something real cold close over my ear and go, I know the world running record probably is a lot slower than what I did. I caught the fence, and I actually caught 1 foot on the fence and went over it in one jump without even touching it with my hand. And I landed, and as soon as I landed, I realized the greatest fear of my life. I've gone further away from the house. I am now in the back 40, which opens into the swamp. And I'm about to have a heart attack. And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to me and says, you don't have to live that way anymore. And I began to pray. And I got down beside the stump. I wasn't even worried about the fact how many snakes we'd kill behind that barn anymore. I'm praying. The Holy Ghost hit me. Those of you think you got to be in church singing Granny's favorite song, you just ain't never been in the right place at the right time. God hit me, and I got to dancing and shouting down behind that barn. I got to having church, and next thing you know, I went in, fed the horses, went home, went to bed. My dad woke me up the next morning. He said, hey, what are you doing in the house with all the doors standing wide open? I said, you wouldn't understand. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, it's time some of y'all wake up and realize that spirit of fear that has come upon you is not of God, and you need to understand there is a way to turn it around, a way to break it, and that is to get a hold of God and let God begin to bring you out and let God begin to tear down the walls and let God begin to give you that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't care who you are. Fear will pull you down and destroy you. It'll take away your peace. It'll mess up your life. We got people, every time something bumps in their body, oh, I'm dying. Had a guy talking to me the other day, started telling me what all was wrong with him. I started giving a list of my stuff, and he went, my God, you're worse off than I am. I looked at him, I said, yeah, but I don't drill on it. Huh? I may have heart trouble. I don't care. I got a God that built it. He can fix it. And them goofy doctors trying to help me so much that I, well, you got 80% chance your cancer's coming back. And I'm like, yeah, that means there's a 20% chance it ain't. Glory. Come on, church. I'm not worried. You know why? Because I made up my mind. I'm going to make it. Amen. Listen, Job let fear take control of his life. He thought everything was gone. He was ready to give up, started questioning God. And he looks at God and starts asking questions, and God spins around and said, where were you when the worlds were formed? Y'all have a conversation like that with God? Can you imagine Job be sitting there and God says, don't you realize I made the world? I stretched out the line, set the boundaries of it. Where were you at when I did that, son? You weren't even thought of. So realize, if I could do that, I can do anything I need to do. And all of a sudden, I hear Job turn around and say, hey, I'm not worried anymore. I know my Redeemer liveth. And although I may die in this world, I know I'm going to stand before him. And with my eyes, I am going to see him. And church, some of us needs to have that kind of faith that it doesn't matter why I'm today, tomorrow, the next day. Why? Because I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know I'm going to stand before him. That means if I die right now, I know where I'm going, and I'm not afraid of tomorrow. Could you say amen? I gotta hurry. That's just the introduction. Listen, the only way to move forward is to conquer the spirit of fear. If you don't do it, you're not ever going any farther. Listen, the first thing Jehoshaphat did when he was attacked by the spirit of fear was he turned to God. Notice what it said, and Jehoshaphat feared. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast through all Judea. Now, church, I may not get very far with this, but you know, the Bible talks about this being the fast that is going to set us free. Matter of fact, they can pop it up on the screen behind me. I believe it's in the book of Isaiah. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. What did he say? He said, if you learn how to fast and pray and seek my face, I got answers. Hallelujah. I remember one time we were talking about fasting, and listen, you can give me all your stuff on fasting. And we have started making things so much easier. I mean, they got a fast now where you can eat anything you want as long as you leave them eat alone. They blaming that on somebody in the Bible, but I can't find it. I see some of you right now going, well, I've read the book. I don't care if you read the book. I've read this book. This book said Daniel was challenged when he was eating pulse. And he didn't eat anything you wanted. He eat green leafy vegetables. So if you're going to go on a Daniel challenge, eat turnip greens in college. That's it. Don't go getting taters and peas. Tell me, oh, yeah, I'm on Daniel fast. Read the Bible. When Daniel fasted, he said, no comely thing crossed my lips. You know what that means? He didn't eat nothing. But we tried to make it easier for folks. Well, I'd rather skip something than do nothing. Well, I agree, because most folks do nothing. Smile. You got to love me anyway. Somewhere down the line, you got to realize I'm your brother and you're stuck with your family. Glory. We was talking about fasting one time. I saw somebody just come off a three-day fast. This guy looked at me. He said, you can't do nothing in 3 days. I said, really? This guy looked like a toothpick with a head stuck on it. I said, you realize how much food I missed in 3 days compared to what you eat in a week? I said, to you, I probably fasted a month. It's not the length of the fast. He said, I have to fast 7 days. I said, I'm sorry. I'll never get that far away before I try to get back. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Fasting is to humble you. It's to touch God. I had a guy one time jumped up and said, I've been on a 40-day fast. God's got to do so-and-so. Church, that's not what fasting's about. If you fast 40 days, then believe God's got to do something, you ain't fasted long enough. Because you think you got charge now because you fasted. All fasting does is humble me and breaks me, makes me get to the place where I realize I have one source, and that's God. And when I do that, then I will begin to seek Him. And when I begin to seek God, that's when the answers are going to come. My Bible didn't say fast first and everything else will take care of itself. It says seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will then be added unto you. I want to tell you, honey, we need to realize today more than ever before, we need to get a hold of God. And if we need to fast a few days, I believe we need to. I think that's something lost in the church. We need to get to that place where we'll put the food away and get our mind on God. And, hey, why don't you take the money you spent on that food and give it to somebody who needs it? Oh, that's something new. Or give the food away. Amen. Come on, church. And what's going to happen? I'm going to get humble. Then I'm going to start seeking God. And when I start seeking God, then I'm going to see blessings begin to flow. I'm going to see bondage begin to loose. I'm going to see, God, come on, church. Somebody needs to hear this. You've been walking in bondage. You've been walking around talking about all things God can do, and yet you don't believe God can do one thing for you anymore. Your God is so far away from you, you can't be touched. Everything in your life's falling apart, and you keep talking about, oh, yeah, I got it. Amen. You don't have the victory. You don't have the power. You don't have the anointing. It's because the Bible tells me, listen, in the book of Revelation, he wrote to the church and said, I stand at a door and knock. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to church folks. He said, you shut a door between me and you because you stopped reading the Bible. Church, you can't get a word if you ain't reading the word. Let me throw this at you. If every time you come to church, you've got to have a preacher speak something into you, you need to learn to read the Bible during the week so you can get something in you to start talking to some other folks with. Come on, church. Nothing wrong with preachers speaking into you, but we got folks chasing preachers. They ain't got a clue who they are. Let them talk to them. Now, oh, yes, he gave me a word. I got news for you. I don't listen to everybody gives me a word because I've had some of them give me a word I knew didn't know what the word was. Come on, church. Guy called me out revival one night, and he said, this sickness is not unto death. And I'm going, man, great. I ain't never know anybody die of a cold. Glory. We had an evangelist one time prophesy over a young lady. Told her she was going to have a child this time next year. That sounds good. But she didn't have no ability to have no child. It would have really been a miracle if she'd had a child. As of a matter of fact, her and her husband wasn't even married but a few more months, and she divorced him and married a woman. How do you think those people thought about that evangelist? I don't need somebody to give me a word. I need God to give me a word. Faith cometh by hearing, not by me running my mouth to you about something you need to hear. It comes from me getting a hold to God and God giving me something from His throne. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When they got to the point they need to hear something, listen to what the prophet said. Jehazah said, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, y'all missing it this morning. It's 12 o'clock. Somebody ought to shut me off because you're ready to go. Amen. And you're ready to just walk out of here with the same baggage you walked in because you don't want to unpack it. But the truth of the matter is, God brought me here to tell you something this morning, and I may have to finish it tonight. But I'm going to tell you this much. Some of you need to get in this altar and hang down till God says something to your soul and God begins to put something into your heart. There is word after word after word that can release you this morning if you'll let it happen. It's not going to come through some unusual thing. It's not going to be a mystical thing. I got a God that's ready to speak to somebody this morning and let you know you are still my child. You are still on my throne. You are still the precious thing of my life. I still want to touch you and bring you out. But until you let go and turn to God, nothing's ever going to change. Stand with me all over the house. Father, we thank you today for your anointing and your presence. God, we give you glory. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Members of the pastor's council that are present for